The following message is brought to you by Charles L. King Jr., pastor of First Baptist Church, West College Hill. If you need additional information, visit firstbaptistchurchwch.org.
Then, as we get ready for the reading of the word, Book of Exodus, chapter 33. Again, I already know I'm not, and I have no intentions of trying to finish this passage. It is a rich passage. The entire chapter of Exodus 33, and we're going to do the best that we can to give it some justice. We stand for the reading of the word, just in case you were wondering. We stand for the reading of the word. I appreciate those who honor the office of the pastor, but you're not standing for me. But you are standing, according to the scriptures, that when the book was open, they stood. And that's what we're doing. We're reading from Exodus 33. Now, I'm only going to read a portion, so I'm going to read 13 through 15, and I'll be reading from the New International Version. Regardless of what translation you had, I'm just letting you know what translation I will be reading from. It says, "If you are pleased with me, teach me your ways so I may know you and continue to find favor with you. Remember that this nation is your people." The Lord replied, "My presence will go with you, and I will give you rest." Then Moses said to him, "If your presence does not go with us, do not send us up from here." It says, "If your presence does not go with us, do not send us up from here." Hear that same passage in the Message translation. Again, those same verses. He says, "If I'm so special to you," this is Moses talking. He says, let me in on your plans. That way I will continue being special to you. Don't forget, this is your people, your responsibility. God said, "My presence will go with you. I'll see the journey to the end." But watch this in verse 15, what Moses said. He says, "If your presence doesn't take the lead here, call this trip off right now." On today, January the 26th, 2020, with your prayers and by the power of the Holy Spirit, we want to consider the subject, the power of his presence. You may be seated in the presence of our God, the power of his presence. Again, Moses said in verse 15 of the Message translation, he said, "If your presence doesn't take the lead here, call this trip off right now." Story is told that when electricity had become available in a remote rural area, one woman had gone to great trouble and expense to have electricity installed in her home. A few months after the wiring was installed and the power was turned on, the power company noticed, Reverend Finley, that the home didn't use very much power. Fearing that there was a problem, they sent a meter reader out to check on the matter. Meter reader saw that the power was indeed working properly, so he asked the woman, he says, "Do you use your electricity?" The woman replied, "Of course we do. We turn it on every night in order to see to light our lamps, and then we turn it off." I'm going to fix that in a minute. But I expected to hear a few chuckles. I did, because when you listen to the story, I mean, Deacon Ferris, that sounds ridiculous. Having all of that power, having all the power that you need and the ability to tap into it and to be able to use it all the time, but to only use it just enough to get by. Of course, some would hear that story and they would say, we would never do anything like this at all because that just doesn't make any sense, right? Well, think about it. Fact of the matter is, we actually do the exact same thing a great deal more than we ever want to admit when we apply that same reasoning to the power and the presence of God. People get up and they go to church and they put a whole lot of effort in getting ready for church. As a matter of fact, on church, they got an emphasis. They got what they call Sunday best. And so put a whole lot into it. We pluck our eyebrows. We make sure it's all laid out. Figure out what Sunday it is. No, it's this Sunday, so I got to wear this color. We put a whole lot of work and effort getting up and going to church week after week. But the problem is some folk do that because what they're looking for is good church. Help me to stand tall, Lord. Looking to have what they call good church, and good church is with regards to their worship experience. Problem is that a lot of good church is based on music and is based on the tune and the hoop of the preacher. So that's all they talk about. Preacher gets up there hooping. Folks say, well, did you have church? We had good church. What the preacher preach about? I don't know, but he sure did preach. Talk about the hoop. We talk about the tune. We talk about the music. Was it too fast, too slow, too loud, too low? But nobody talks anything about the power and the presence of God. Too many people who only seek the presence of God when they find themselves in a tight spot or when they want something. And again, all of us are guilty of that. I'm not here to point fingers. I'm talking about from the pulpit to the door. Amen. We all go through difficulties day after day after day. It seems that only when we come to the end of our strength, only when we come to the end of our resources, only when we come to the end of what we think we're supposed to do, only then do we ask for God's help. We have the power of God at our disposal at all times. That is, those of us who've confessed Jesus, come on somebody, received him as our Lord and Savior, huh? And are indwelt with the Holy Spirit. We have the power of God at our disposal all the time. Yet we attempt to get by day after day using our own strength. Brother Bell, unfortunately, we are more like the woman who wouldn't use her electricity than we really want to admit. Because we're always relying on that one main little source that we've always known and we've always used. You see, for that woman in the story, it was the lighting of the candles. It was lighting and using candles because that's what she always knew. Didn't matter that she had electricity. All she knew was lighting and using candles. Well, but for somebody here up under the sound of my voice, saved, sanctified, and filled with the Holy Ghost. Yet there is still something, that one little thing, that one addiction, that one habit, that you've always known and that you've always done just to get a little bit strength. That's something or that someone that you need to help you get by. But hear me when I say this, that a great truth and a great fact of life is that sometimes we experience some situations or we go through some circumstances that can weaken and or discourage us to the point, a point that we might not have ever thought that we would get to. Sometimes We go through situations that will rob us of our peace, an attempt to make us lose sight of what the real solution is. In other words, what I'm talking about, Sister Keeling, is that circumstances and our situations can make us question God's purpose and his plan. I know I'm telling the truth. Believe me when I say it. But it's during those tough times, during those difficult situations, when you want to be able to draw from the power, I'm talking about the dunamis power of the Lord God Almighty. But in order to be able to do that, we need to experience the presence of God to experience his power. For just like electricity, when we remove the presence of God from our lives, teaching this house, we also remove the power. You can have electricity in your house, but until you turn it on, it's not going to help you. Amen. But the thing is that we're going to have to learn, as men and women of God, we're going to have to learn to seek God daily, and we're going to learn to seek God regularly. So there's some things in this passage that we want to draw out of this passage, but again, I've already indicated that we're not going to finish it, but the points, there's some points we're going to raise here, and they are, number one, acknowledging God's help is a necessity in our lives. Amen. Another thing we're going to raise from this text is that experiencing God's presence is the hallmark of our lives, and seeing God's glory manifest is, or at least should be, the goal of our lives. Let's talk about that first point. Acknowledging God's help is a necessity of our lives. In other words, living in the presence of God. It's captured right there in verses 12 through 14. First of all, my brothers and my sisters, we need to know that God has created all of humanity to have a deep personal relationship with him. Here in our text, Moses in verses 12 through 14, he's speaking with God, and he speaks with God, and he simply reminds God of his promises. You remember a few weeks ago when we studied the passage of Genesis chapter 15, back when Abram did the exact same thing. He reminded God of his promises to him. So you got to ask yourself the question. Here's where the inquisitiveness of the text and you as a Bible reader, why does Moses do it here? Why does Moses have to remind God of his promises to him? I mean, it's not like God forgot. Come on, somebody. He didn't forget the promises that he made, but there is a genuine concern here that Moses has. So write this down. What's the concern? It might be one of your questions. What is his concern? Well, here's where the teaching goes. Because what happens is, let's just look at the text. So some would make the concern exactly what Moses spoke in verses now 12 and 13. This is not going to be on your screen. It's in your Bible. So if you closed it, you closed it too soon. Watch the text. Verse 12, I'm reading the Message translation. It says, Moses said to God, look, you tell me, lead this people, but you don't let me know whom you're going to send with me. You tell me, I know you well and you are special to me. If I am so special to you, let me in on your plans. That way I will continue being special to you. Don't forget, this is your people, your responsibility. Stay right there. So I ask you a question. What was Moses' concern? So what would happen here is we would look at these two verses, and while it sounds straightforward enough, some would actually make what Moses says here the point of emphasis. And they would extrapolate this, and they would use this maybe for a leadership meeting or a pastor's conference. Can I teach in this house? So when you look at that, you begin to see, okay, well, Moses is a leader. He's trying to lead people. So you go to a leadership conference and you go to learn techniques, and they even use this scripture. So you learn about the dynamics of groups and the dynamics of leading multiple personalities. Or you go to a pastor's conference and you go to the dynamics of leading a church, because that's one of the things that he talked about. He said, these are your people. These are your responsibility. Tell me what I'm supposed to do. So what happens is we take that and we make that the concern. But that wasn't the real concern. So we got folk learning techniques. We got folk trying to learn practical things. And I'm not here to knock leadership conferences. I go to them. I'm not here to knock pastoral conferences. I've been to them. But the problem is, and I'm going to talk about this in a minute, you run in to get taught some practical things, but you can still miss the point. Moses' real concern, yeah, you can talk about him needing help leading the people. I get that. But his concern, look at your Bible. His concern was that God had removed his presence from the Israelite camp. Look at verse 1 through 3. There was no longer a sense of the divine. You got to look in your Bible. There was no longer a sense of the divine within the nation of Israel. Look. That's one of the questions I ask. If you go back to verses 1 through 3, God is preparing to give them everything they wanted and needed in the promised land, a land flowing. Everything they needed. Except he said, I'm not going with you. So let me bring it forward. How many people go to church Sunday after Sunday after Sunday, focusing on what they want to see and hear? So let me bring it forward. So what happens is we go to these conferences, we learn about all these techniques, and when you bring all that stuff back. So you got churches trying to figure this out, and they say, I just learned some new methods. So now they're saying, we got to throw out all the pews, and they said, we need chairs. They said, if we want to have folk come in, you got to have 5 services, and they got to be able to speak to everything folk. So you got to have a contemporary, you got to have a traditional, you got to have a hip hop, you got to have a rock and roll, because that's what they taught us. And then they got preachers who say, okay, so do I preach in a robe, or do I preach in jeans, or do I preach in a polo? And they go on to learn about techniques and all of this stuff. And you can get everything you want in church and still miss. Focusing on what they want to see and hear. So you get everything you want, but all the while you miss experiencing God. But here's what even more concerned me, Brown, is that you have that happening around the world. But the thing is, people aren't even fazed by that. That's not even what their concern is, at least when I look here, because even if folks didn't have good church. So you got some folks say, "Woo, we sure did have good church." And then you got some folks, did you have good church? We ain't had good church today. But we had good church and we didn't have good church. It's tied to the same thing. It's usually tied to the music and to the hoop and tune of the preacher. But when I look at this text, Deacon Griffith, in verse 4, at least the children of Israel were despaired. At least they were despondent. At least they were sad that God had left them or was talking about not going with them. So, So what do you really think is going on with the church today? Lord, help me to stand tall. And I'm talking about the church universal. The simple answer is that we are not seeking more of God. We are settling for the status quo, and we leave our lives there. The problem is, if we settle with what we've already experienced with God, then we cannot and will not grow. When we settle for where we are with God, we will never move forward in our walk with Him. The truth is, we simply cannot settle anymore. So the Bible says that when Moses sought God, he did so through fervent prayer. And he sought God in essence by going down to his knees. One of the other problems with the church is that people want a deep relationship with God, but they just don't want to pay the price. They don't want to make the sacrifice that's needed. And I'm here to let you know that developing an intimate relationship with God takes time. And it's going to take some effort. This thing does not happen overnight. So I don't mean any harm. I don't care how many services you have in a day. That's just one day. I don't care if you have a three-day, 24-hour revival in the week. That's 3 days. What you going to do with the next four? This thing happens day after day after day. So I want you to notice what Moses says to God here in verses 13. He wants three things from God in his life. That is, if his life was to be pleasing to God. Three things. It's right there in your text. He says, teach me your ways. Verse 13, he says, let me know you. And then he says, let me live in and continue in favor with you. Look at the petition. Watch the prayer. See, we got folk when they say you need to pray, but what you praying for? We're still praying for external things. We got to make this thing personal. So why does Moses say, teach me your ways? Moses wants to know God's ways so he can keep following God, because it's only when we know the ways of God that we can truly follow him. Again, I refer back to the leadership conferences and the pastors' conferences. Don't get me wrong, I think it is very important as a leader that we go to conferences to be taught. Amen. I think it's important that as you're going to teach Sunday school, new members, whatever it is, you need to be taught. Amen. I think it's important that you lend some time to inductive Bible study in order for you to teach. I think it's important as a preacher that we understand hermeneutics and homiletics and all of that stuff. But I don't need to go to a conference to learn hooping 101. That's not what this is about, because unfortunately we are focusing on technique matters and technical matters and not what matters most. Instead of being taught how to hoop, I need to go to God and say, teach me your ways. Second thing he says is, let me know you. There is a direct connection between knowing the ways of God and knowing God himself. We cannot say that we know God if we don't know his word. Amen. It is only when we know God personally that we can be called his people. Last thing he said was, let me live in and continue to find favor with you. Watch this. Once we know God's ways and we know God personally, then the favor of God can rest on our lives. Here's another teaching point. So I believe the NIV, it says in verse 14, he says, my presence will go with you and you will find, or I will give you rest. The problem is there are folk who say they've been in church all their lives, and somehow they've rested their lives in church. And you've misinterpreted the scripture. Mm-mm. That's why I like the Message translation. He says, my presence will go with you to the end of the journey. If you still breathe, then your journey is not over with yet. So that rest is not you resting in the pew, resting in the work, resting in your participation, resting in all of your involvement. No. It's to have the favor of God resting on your life. But it is impossible for you to have the divine favor of God in your life if you don't know God. I didn't say know about him. You need to know him. Have a personal relationship with God. You see, when we do these things, or better yet, when we seek these things, it opens our lives up to the presence of God. In order for us to have and be able to draw from the power of God, trust me, you don't want to be getting ready when it's time to be ready. You don't want to be looking for the light switch in a dark house. When trouble comes, you better know how to have the power on. When trouble comes your way. And when we live to know God's ways and to know God more, he then will throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out his divine favor on our lives. As I get ready to close, listen, we must seek God's presence in our lives at all times. And we need to stop setting our sights on earthly things and seek the spiritual. We have to stop being believers with a mediocre relationship with God and become radical, faithful believers who rely on God's presence 24/7, 365. Let's never forget that just as God's people back then felt the remoteness of God's presence in their life. Kev, you've been there. I've been there. When you feel like God is distant. Sometimes it's when you're going through a test before you get to your testimony. And when you're in the middle of your test and you want to know why God is so silent. And I got some teachers in the house, but it seems like the teachers are always silent during test taking time. You in the middle of your test. But we can't forget that just as God's people felt the remoteness of his presence in their life, if we don't actively seek God's presence in our life, then we too risk being distant from our Heavenly Father. Listen. Seeking and obtaining God's presence is the only thing that will strengthen and sustain us in some difficult times. Stuff happens in your life. It's nice to get cards. It's nice to get a text. It's nice to get a phone call. It's nice for folks to say that they're there if you need them. But there's sometimes, even when you can't get to folk and folk can't get to you, you better have the presence of the Most High God present with you. And I'm not talking about seeking him for presence. I'm talking about his presence. See, there are times when you have to get to a point and say, well, maybe it's a loved one, and you say, well, Lord, I couldn't save that life, but help me protect their legacy. Help me protect the one whom I loved. That's only going to come from the power and the presence of God. And the believer that actively seeks God's presence in their life experiences to a new spiritual level. And even when he or she does that, their family as well experiences that strength. Ask Raynell and her family. Little girl. So excited about her experience with God, so much so that she went home and told it enough for her family to hear it and say, I need to go. where you are going. And I want to experience what you are experiencing. Pastors don't produce sheep. Sheep produce sheep. And unless there are people who are talking about their experience with God, I don't want you all talking about me. Pray for me. Pray for my wife. Pray for my children. But I want you all talking about the Most High God, because it's a personal experience. Don't forget what God said to Moses and what God says to us today. Verse 14 of the message, he said, God said, my presence will go with you. I'll see the journey to the end. God woke you up. That means you got a journey. You still got a race to run. I know you're worried. I know you're concerned. I know we have some stresses and some strains. But God says, I'm with you. I know I'm talking to somebody who may be praying about something. People are always trying to make decisions every day. And it's more than just what clothes to wear. There are some people who are struggling. Maybe transition of a job, transition in a relationship, transition in ministry, transition in whatever. But if that's the case, God said, I'll go with you. But then our response to God should be the same as Moses was. Moses says, if your presence doesn't take the lead here, God Almighty, call this trip off right now. Care how bad I want the job. If you don't want me to have it, and if you're not going to be there, I don't want it. Know what my finances look like. But Lord, listen, if you don't take the lead, though, call this off. Care if it's moving from church to church, ministry to ministry, job to job, neighborhood to neighborhood, whatever it is, you better pray. And your prayer is not, Lord, where do you want me to live? Your prayer better be, teach me your ways. Because you might not change my circumstances right away, but I need you to change me. And I know I've been praying, Lord, deliver me from this relationship or deliver me from this job. And when it doesn't happen, you fussing. No. Deliver me from this sickness in my body. And when it doesn't happen, teach me your ways. And Lord, I want to know you. Because even in the midst of what I'm going through, draw me near. Draw me near, near. Oh, precious Lord. I know I'm praying for my loved one, but in the midst of that, draw me near. And then finally, you want to say, I don't ever want to go or do or be where you're not at. So I want to continue in your favor in my life. And I can't be in your favor if I'm out of step or if I'm out of place with your will. Open my eyes. And help me believe I am what you see. And for somebody, you need to see yourself as an overcomer. You need to see yourself as one who truly does have a testimony. And the reason you have a testimony is because God has brought you out and through a test. But that only comes from the power of his presence. The doors of the church are open.
Thank you for listening to this message brought to you by First Baptist Church, West College Hill. If this word inspired you, please consider sharing it. We ask that you do not alter the content without permission. We invite you to firstbaptistchurchwch.org. Inquiries can be submitted at info@firstbaptistchurchwch.org. Our mailing address is 6210 Betts Avenue, Cincinnati, Ohio, 45224. Or you can call our offices at 513-681-1011. First Baptist Church, West College Hill. Reaching the world without sacrificing the message. First Baptist Church, West College Hill. Reaching the world without sacrificing the message.